Compassion is not a thing, it's a person. Today, Kenneth Copeland explains how God's powerful compassion can flow through you to change negative situations and transform the lives of those around you. Next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
The Lord directed me earlier today to talk to you about this. I notice it more and more, and I had the Lord correct me about it many, many, many years ago, just as I was beginning to learn and beginning to train as a sower of seed in the kingdom of God. See, I was raised in a farming and ranching family. Both my mother and my dad came from West Texas farmland. They were born and raised on farms. And my daddy got out of there as fast as he could, but and I'm glad he did, because God called him to do other things. But I spent a lot of time with my grandfather, and he was a very blessed farmer and rancher. He didn't ranch as his primarily his farmer. And I learned a lot of things from him about sowing and reaping and so forth that I didn't know I knew until I got in the Word and found it there later. Now, I said all that to get to you on this. When I was first learning that I was not just a preacher of the Word, I was a sower of seeds. The sower sows the Word. I'm not one that just has a little garden out behind the house. No, this is what I do. I sow. I'm a sower. Well, you can't be a successful sower without being a harvester. You sow and you reap. Amen. Amen. And I heard this. Everybody said it, but for the first time I heard it. You know what I mean? But then you become aware of something that's being said that was just part of natural talk, but you don't pay attention to it until the Lord shines a light on it and tells you, don't say that anymore. Well, now I started noticing it again among you and I and our people that are learning how to give for a living instead of toiling for a living. And that's this phrase, I gave it away. No, away is what you do with garbage. You throw garbage away. You don't give away, you give into. You've got an area out there where you're sowing seeds. And one thing about my grandfather's farm, man, I'm telling you, it looked like he laid it out with a straight edge. Man, I mean, his rows were straight and there wouldn't be a weed in it. If you came in there and said, Mr. Owens, I saw some weeds out there in your garden, he'd throw a fit, man. Where? Man, I mean, you'd think, the enemy was out there. Well, it is the enemy of that crop. And you're going to tell him that he's throwing his seeds away by putting it out there in that straight row and spending all that time and all that work? No, no, no. He wasn't sowing away. He's sowing into his own ground. Huh? So open your ear to that. The Lord spoke to me about it this morning. Said they're doing that too much again. Bring it up. No, no, no. You're not giving something away. It's worth more as a seed than it is a sale. Amen. So, put that in your bag and listen for it. Be determined for it. And become diligent about it. And when it comes out of your mouth, say, oh, no, no, no. No, no, I didn't give that away. I gave that into their life. I gave that into that ministry. God told me to give him a car away. No, 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 he didn't. He told you to sow it into someone, someplace, some ministry or operation or so forth. thinking. Now, Lord, we receive that and we become aware of it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now then, let's go back to the teaching of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke chapter 12, please. He said in the 15th verse, take heed. Let's do that right now. Take, you know what the word take means. There's more to the word take than just passiveness. Take is an action word. Listen. Take hold of what I'm telling you. And beware of covetousness. Covetousness is a way of thinking that continuously becomes more and more and more seemingly the thing to do and the right decision. It's the kind of thing that doesn't start off glaring. You're not good. You don't start off thinking, I'm going to go over and take that car away from that guy. He's got too many cars as it is, and I'm going to go get one of them. Well, right now, that's covetousness, but in a few minutes, it's going to be theft. But you get that in your heart, and you've already committed the theft because the covetousness is breaking that just the same as stealing it would. Because your spirit goes through the same action. Ah, Brother Copeland, I don't believe it's the same thing just because you thought it and saw it. Well, if that's true, pornography would never work. I mean, your emotions and your mind and your physical body actually, physically, don't know the difference. It goes through all of the same motion. Your spirit goes through the same motion. The Apostle John put it like this. He said, the man that loveth not his brother is a murderer. Well, he didn't kill him. I know it's not illegal not to love him. But your spirit goes through the same unbelieving death process and cuts off your faith the same as it would if you killed him. So that's what he's talking about. He's talking about this inner man. Now then, Jesus said, beware of it. Covetousness is that way of thinking that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Looks like a perfectly logical decision that I need to make, and it looks like the thing to do. But come to find out, it was the ways of death, and it didn't benefit you. It will destroy you. So, covetousness is that way of thinking that will eventually lead you to make decisions to get what someone else has. A good friend of mine came to me one time, and he said, Brother Coleman, I got to tell you this. He said, I was working for such and such company, and he said, man, he said, we got into such a fight with the union. Well, where there's strife, there's confusion, never evil work. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me to do something that destroys the company where you're employed. What good is it going to do for you to get mad and kick holes in their walls? That's just stupid. Particularly if you're a Christian. He said, man, there was such a split. I mean, they were fussing and fighting until they got to the place they couldn't do anything. And he said, I was on that committee, and he said, I was in management, and I was just sitting over there in the corner listening to all of this trash. And he said, I got tired hearing it. And so he said, I just started praying in the Holy Ghost and just sitting over there praying in the Spirit, praise God. And he said, I got caught up in it, and I'm praying for everybody in here. And he said, I kept being drawn to this fellow over there on the labor side of the room and said, I didn't know him. And he said, I kept noticing him. And he said, I didn't want to stare at the fella. And he said, but I noticed every time I looked over, he was looking at me. And he said, and I got to looking at him and more, and he got to looking at me. And he said, we got to inching toward one another, you know. And he said, well, nobody paying attention to here, either one. They just a fussing and a fighting and a cussing one another and going on and on, you know. And he said, we finally just introduced ourselves to one another. And he said, first thing out of my mouth, he said, I just been noticing you, brother. He said, well, I've been noticing you, brother. He said, you know Jesus, don't you? And he said, yeah, I do. And you do too, don't you? He said, yeah. And he said, and they talked there for a little while. And he said, let's pray about this mess. And so the two of them, without making any big noise about it, God just shielded them from the whole rest of that group. Now, they got over there where there wasn't any confusion. They're not thinking covetously. They're not going to force one another to do anything. They got in agreement for the prosperity of that company. Amen. And they began to pray and worship God. They came in the next day. And of course, when they did, they sat down next to go over there and let the whole bunch get back and get their war started, you know. And here they are. And he said, after a little while, we began to write things down and we were talking and discussing things. And he said, if I remember this, Chris, forgive me, Lord, if I'm telling this wrong. I'll put it this way. A few days of that. Man, it started flowing. I mean, they're getting all these answers. And finally, the Lord said, okay, now, present it. And they stopped everything and said, we have something we want to say. My name's so-and-so. I'm on this side. His name's so-and-so. He's on this side. They laid it all out there, and management and labor were astounded at the answers. Neither one of either side had thought of any of this. And everybody said, well, yeah. It brought peace between the two tables, and they got together, and before the day was over with, they had their contracts written and had them signed, and everybody is happy. And the big part of it was, they had a good witness to the Lord Jesus Christ, and love got in that company. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See? But now covetousness thinking ain't got time for that. So, what were they doing? They were walking in the light and not in confusion, not in darkness, not fighting, strife. So now, let's go to 1 John because this is my assignment for today. 1 John, let's look first of all, look over here in the third chapter. He that loveth not his brother abides in death. He's living in it. So now, let's see what we've got here. Verse 17 of chapter 3. Whoso hath this world's goods and sees his brother have need and shuts up his bowels of compassion or closes off his heart of compassion. Compassion is not a thing, it is a person. God is compassion. Jesus was moved by compassion and he healed their sick. He was moved by compassion and he raised the dead. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Now, when one is abiding in death, the law of sin and death, which is the curse, is having its effect. It will influence your decisions, and you'll start making covetous decisions based in darkened eyes. I preached in a little church one time. I believe that church is in worse condition than any church I ever preached in my life. This first year I was in the ministry, and I went by to see what one of my very closest friends and mentors in the ministry, and man, it just so lovely in my life, which was Hilton Sutton. And I was there in Houston, headed back home, and I just went to see Brother Hill. I had supper with him. Telephone rang. The guy called, and I could hear him on the phone. And he said, Brother Sutton, could you come over and hold a meeting for me? My Lord, he said, my church is dried plumb up, man. I don't know what I'm going to do. This thing has just completely failed. And Brother Sutton said, no, I can't do it. I don't have an open schedule, but there's young men sitting here at my table. I guarantee you, can do it, that can do it. And he held his phone and said, could you stay a night and go over there and preach? I said, yes, sir. I wanted to say, let me check my schedule. My schedule didn't have anything on it. I said, yes, sir, I'll be glad to go. And he said, yeah, send him over. So I went. Oh, brother. Here we are, evening service, and the whole church was about as large as this center section here. Now, wasn't anybody on the front row, second row, third row? You got right about here. There was about three, four people here, one or two down there, then a scattered out kind of a group this way. And on the back row was a whole row of teenage girls, and they were rolling one another's hair. I ain't never seen that in church, Baptist or no otherwise. I never seen that. I thought, that's very strange. And so I just got down here like this, about like here, and started preaching. I started preaching on faith, and I mean, I preached myself happy, and I was just having more fun. This little woman, about this tall, she looked like she is in her 80s. And I know she had to been, because this is in 1960, latter part of 67, first part of 68. She jumped out in that aisle, and she went to dancing. I mean, she danced her hair down, and she shouted, my God, this is what it was like in 1919. Let's have a meeting. Power of God hit the place. Well, after we got through, the pastor received the offering. And man, I was so excited. I mean, them offering plates, brother, how they were stacked. People were going to have a meeting. The meeting was over with people hollering, Pastor, why don't you see if that young man can stay? Let's have us a meeting here. Well, wasn't that what he asked for? That offering got in his way. He handed me $25, and then he lied about it. Now, if he had just told me the truth and said, Preacher, we got a lot of bills around here, and I decided to keep all the offering but $25. Well, it's his business. He could have kept it all if he'd have wanted to. I wouldn't have liked it, but at least he wouldn't have lied about it. Well, brother, I'm sorry it wasn't any more than this, but it just didn't come in. Now he's a thief. Covetousness thinking is what got him. We're walking out the parking lot while he's dealing with this $25 that he had to give up. And we're walking, hey, pastor, see if you get that preacher to stay 2 or 3 days. My Lord, let's have a meeting. And he turned around to me and said, brother, if you're ever our way, give me that long preacher. Yes, Simon. Starts talking perpendicular. Yes, amen. If you're ever our way, brother. I thought, I may have said it. I don't remember now. But I thought, I'm here now, dummy. And it hurt. Not because he didn't give me any money. I didn't care one way or the other. I've been broker than this. I can take $25 and make a living off of it. Praise God. You mean just sew it back and forth a few days? We'll get there. Praise God. I learned how. I'm not making a living. The blessing of the Lord, it makes the living. Then God starts teaching you how to give and how to receive. And you become the part of the prosperity of the ministry. You become part of the prosperity of the company. You become part of the prosperity of your family. And glory is going to be all over me if I don't shut up. Stand up and give the Lord a praise here.
That is the sound of victory. Truly what the Venezuela Victory Campaign was all about. The first in Latin America. Charged with unshakable faith.
Fear will keep you in sin.
Te mantendrá en el pecado.
Oh, but faith.
Oh, pero la fe.
Faith in Jesus.
Fe en Jesús.
Faith in His name.
Fe en su nombre.
Faith in His love.
Fe en su amor.
Faith in His blood.
Fe en su sangre.
Faith in His word.
Fe en su palabra.
Has delivered me from the law of sin and death.
Me ha librado de la ley. Woo!
Godly zeal, passion, and determination.
Yo tengo la victoria!
Filled with great expectation and hope for the future of Venezuela and Latin America.
Venezuela is the lighthouse of the Latino world.
Venezuela es un faro para la América Latina, para el mundo hispano.
Hallelujah. This is, as Pastor Mora said, the time for Venezuela.
Yo creo que llegó la hora, no solamente de Venezuela, sino la hora de Latinoamérica. Se abrió una puerta, y esa puerta la abrió Dios en Maracaibo, Venezuela, y ahora el hermano Copland irá a Perú, irá a México, Costa Rica, y la palabra de fe será sembrada en los corazones, como fue sembrada en nuestras vidas, y entonces la iglesia explotará y llegará a la estatura de la plenitud de Cristo como Cristo lo quiso.
A call to live boldly, without fear. Never settle for less than God's best for your life.
Fear not!
No temas!
Believe only!
Cree!
And Jesus will deliver you from everything the devil's put on you!
Signs and wonders, healing and deliverance. Victory. It was all about victory. Yet this significant and momentous time had been preordained by God. In 1994, Kenneth Copeland received an astounding prophecy, a call to minister among Hispanics.
There is a seed waiting to erupt and birth forth into the earth, saith the Lord, and it's among the people with brown skin that you call Hispanic.
The Word of God preached by Kenneth Copeland has been spread to even the most remote corners of Indian communities in countries like Colombia, Venezuela, and Peru. Some 18,000 people attended the Venezuela Victory Campaign in only 2 days. Approximately 600 souls were won to the Lord. The Venezuela Victory Campaign was a resounding victory, an authentic and crystal clear proof that Jesus is Lord.
Jesús es el Señor.
You know, there was just thousands of people there from all over the Latin world. And they came in there to get hold of the Word
Praise
of God.
God.
But the people in Venezuela and people from Peru and people from that whole part of the world, I'm telling you, Gloria, God's people have had enough. And they made up their mind, we're having an awakening in this place. We're not going to let the devil steal our nation. I'll tell you, they're stirred up just like the body of Christ is stirred up here in the United States. The devil is not taking this thing
that's
away
right.
from us.
That's exactly
and there's
right.
an awakening that's already going on there and in other places around the world, and you're going to hear from it. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
We're going back in there again next year. I was so impressed with not only with what the people are doing and the people that are called out to pray, but I was impressed about the anointing that was there. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Father, we pray
yes.
over this offering day today as you directed us that every Friday was offering day on this broadcast, and we receive it. My prayer, Lord, is that you reveal to every person what their part of the outreach of Kenneth Copeland Ministries around the world according to your plan, your direction, your guidance.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we put no pressure on anybody. We put our pressure on the Word. We tithe, we give, and we do these things. You listen to the Lord. You receive. Yeah. You pray. Find out what the Lord Jesus Christ would have you do. And if you're not directed to do something like that, just praise God. Don't get under any kind of condemnation about it. Just praise and worship God and pray for us. Amen.
Amen.
That's number one. That's where the power is in prayer in the name of Jesus. Now, we pray over your offering. We believe God for the breakthroughs and the overflows. There are people praying here around the clock. Right here in this office in the United States, 24/7. Amen. And we're available to you, too. So, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever man sows, that shall he also
Amen.
Reap. Hallelujah. How? Jesus said, for my sake and the gospel, that's the plumb line.
Yeah.
For my sake and the gospel, you shall receive in this life 100. Hallelujah. Happy New Year, everybody.
Yes.
This is the greatest year you've ever had. And we'll see you next time. Remember that Jesus is
Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on The Believer's Voice of Victory. To purchase today's broadcasts on DVD or CD, or for a copy of today's product, go to our website at kcm.org. You'll find an extensive resource of faith-based teaching to help you find the answers you're looking for. Have faith in God and walk in the blessing today. Come to these exciting meetings. A Behind the Mission Weekend with Stephen Kelly Swisher is February 19th and 20th, 2010 in Scottsdale, Arizona at the Doubletree Paradise Valley Resort. You're invited to join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland for the 2010 Branson Victory Campaign, March 4th through 6th at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. For more information, call 800-600-7395 or visit our website at kcm.org.